This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. Talking about King Darius, who had spent a sleepless night. And he came in the morning to the den of lions, where Daniel had been placed the night before. And in verse 20 it said, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel." I think that's quite descriptive. You can hear him almost, can't you? A lamentable voice. And he said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions?" Is your God able? And really, that's the basic question. Is your God able? Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, had just spent a miserable night. He realized that he had been hoodwinked by these wicked men who flattered him, appealed to his pride, and conned him into signing a foolish decree. A decree that said that no one should pray or ask anything of any god or man for a period of 30 days, except from him. In other words, just show them how great and powerful you are. You're so marvelous, you're so wonderful. We think that people don't realize just how marvelous you are. And so we've got this decree. It's really to just bring you honor, and it's to cause people to realize just how important you are. And thus, no one is to ask anyone, any god or any man for anything except for you. You know, you are in control, and we want people to realize that. And so he was hoodwinked into signing this ridiculous decree. These men who had devised this decree and hoodwinked the king were extremely jealous of Daniel. They recognized that Daniel was in favor with Darius. They realized that Darius was considering in putting Daniel over all of the kingdom, that is, of the Babylonians, the Persian kingdom. He had his own kingdom to take care of, and so he was going to put Daniel over the Babylonian kingdom. He had already placed him as one of the three top leaders, and now he's thinking about putting Daniel over all of them because he was such a marvelous man of integrity. And these men who were jealous of Daniel and the possibility of his being promoted to this position knew that he was so honest, that he was so filled with integrity, that there was no way that they were going to find fault or be able to accuse him of any misuse of power or his position in government. They knew that the only way they would be able to get him would be in relationship to his devotion and dedication to his God. They knew that he was a man of prayer. They knew that he spent his life in prayer three times each day. He would be there in his room praying for the people of God, faithful in prayer. And thus this decree, no man can pray to any god for 30 days. They knew Daniel's devotion to God, his commitment to God. And so Daniel, when he knew the king had signed this decree, went to his room, didn't bother to close the windows and to make a big secret of it, but with the window open towards Jerusalem, he prayed unto the Lord. And they went running back to the king. They were outside listening, and they went running back to the king, and they said, "We found a culprit who has violated your order. And it's Daniel." When the king heard this, he realized suddenly, "I've been had. I've been duped." He realized that it was a plot. And he sought all day for some loophole in the law whereby he might let Daniel off. Now, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, when a decree had been signed by the king and sealed with his ring, which he did, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, it could not be broken, it could not be changed, it could not be altered. And he sought all day to find some kind of a loophole whereby he could, because he loved Daniel. And he was trying somehow to spare Daniel the fate. But in the evening, these fellows came back and they said, "All right, according to the law, you know, he has to go and you can't change it." And they were pressing now the issue. And it only upset him the more. And then it says that the king said to Daniel, verse 16, the last portion, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." You know, sometimes words of encouragement come to us from the strangest places. Here is this Persian king saying to Daniel, "Daniel, your God that you serve continually will deliver you." We had around Calvary Chapel here a very lovable young man whose mind had been damaged by drugs and by an automobile accident. He was very hyper in his speech. He slurred his words. He stuttered. You could hardly, it was a sort of a strain to try to understand him. But he loved the Lord. And he was in the Orange County Mental Hospital for a while. And a psychiatrist who was treating him called up and he said, "I need to get saved." He said, "We have a young man over here that I've been treating, and he seems to only know one thing, but he knows it well. And he keeps telling me that Jesus loves me." And he said, "I need to know this love of Jesus." And he came over and Romaine prayed with him and he accepted the Lord as a result of this guy had just going around just saying, "Jesus loves you, man. Jesus loves you," you know. My wife was going through one of those days in which, you know, things weren't going right and a little discouraged, and she prayed, "Lord, I just need you to assure me that you love me." And presently the phone rang, and it was this fellow, okay, you know, and then just as clear as a bell, without stuttering or slurring, He said, the Lord wants you to know that he loves you. And went on with his slurring and stuttering again. But God sometimes encourages us in the most unusual and the strangest ways. And here's Darius the king saying, well, Daniel, can't do it, but the God that you serve, he will deliver you. And I find it interesting that he's receiving encouragement from the king. But though he encouraged Daniel with these words, he did not really believe them fully himself. He spent a sleepless night. He ordered his dinner canceled. He ordered the orchestra canceled. And all night long he tossed and turned as he rued the folly of his signing that dumb decree. But early in the morning, he got out of bed, came to the den, and he called down into the darkness in this lamentable voice, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lion? And I'm sure that his heart leaped for joy when he heard Daniel from down in the darkness say, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. The question is your God able to undertake for you in the trial that you may be going through? Earlier in the book of Daniel, we find the three Hebrew children being threatened by Nebuchadnezzar, declaring that if they would refuse to bow to this golden image that he had set up in the plains of Dura, that they would be cast in the same hour into the burning fiery furnace. And what God is able to deliver you out of my hands? And they responded, we are not even careful in how we answer you concerning this matter, O Nebuchadnezzar. For the God that we serve is able to deliver us out of your burning fiery furnace. That confidence, the God that we serve is able to deliver us. Our God is a delivering God, and he is able to deliver you from the fiery furnace or from the lion's den or from whatever predicament you might find yourself. God is able. He is able to deliver you. We sang it. Though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver you. The question, is there any limit to God's ability? Is there anything that God can't do beside lie? When Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, he asked the Lord to do some impossible things for the believers. He asked that the Lord would help them to comprehend the greatness of the love of Jesus Christ, which he said passes human understanding. May God help you to understand something that's beyond your ability to understand. And then he prayed that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Well, the heavens of heaven can't contain God. Solomon said, how much less this temple that I have built? And yet Paul is praying, may you be filled with the fullness of God, and may you know the completeness, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of Jesus Christ, which passes human understanding. Help you to know something that's beyond the ability of man to know. And having asked then the Lord to do these impossible things, he then said, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You cannot think. You cannot imagine. You cannot ask for something that is too difficult or too hard for God. Our God is able. We are told concerning Abraham's faith that one of the keys to Abraham's faith was that he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He had that confidence in God. God has promised me a son through Sarah. Doesn't matter that I'm 100 years old and Sarah is 90. It doesn't matter that we've been married for perhaps 75 years, had the diamond anniversary, and that up to this point she's been barren, she's been unable to have children. That doesn't matter. God's promised me a son through Sarah. And because he was strong in the faith, he gave glory to God. He was just rejoicing and saying, oh, Lord, thank you for this wonderful son that you've promised to give to me. If we could get in a time machine and set the buttons for about 3,800 years ago, perhaps a little further back than that, we come back to Hebron, decide to walk on down to Beersheba. Not far out of Hebron, we would see this tent pitched alongside of the path. The hillsides are covered with sheep, goats, cattle. Servants are out there watching them. And this old man calls to us, sitting under the oak tree. He says, come and refresh yourself. It's a long, hot journey down to Beersheba. And so we go over and he calls in. He says, Sarah, fix some cookies and tea. We've got company out here. And so we begin to talk to him. He's very interesting, fascinating old man. Seems to be filled with experiences. And as he talks to us, though, every once in a while, he seems to be oblivious of the fact that we are there. He just sort of goes into a little thing of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, I love you. Oh, that's so marvelous, Lord. That's just marvelous, marvelous. Oh, thank you, thank you. And he's just praising the Lord. And then he talks to us for a while. And then he just seems to be caught up in this praise to the Lord again. And finally, we say, oh, man, you seem to be awfully excited and happy about something. What's going on? He says, oh, you can't. It's marvelous. My wife is going to have a baby. We say, well, wow, you're pretty old, aren't you? Yeah, I'm 100. Well, how old's your wife? Well, she's about 90. Well, that is unusual. That is marvelous. How long you been married? 75 years or so. Well, how many children do you have? Whoa, we don't have any yet. She hasn't been able to have children yet, but oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, my, that's marvelous. Thank you, Lord. You know. We say, well, how long has she been pregnant? Oh, she's not pregnant yet, but Being strong in the faith, he was giving glory to God. So as we continue our journey to Beersheba, we say, oh, well, leave him alone. He's happy, you know. But he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And when later on he was called to sacrifice Isaac unto the Lord, God had promised, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac had not yet had any children, and God is saying, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, offer him as a sacrifice on the mount that I will show you. And he journeyed with Isaac and the servants, and they came to the mount. And he and Isaac went up together, and he bound Isaac. And in the book of Hebrews it tells us, for he believed the promises of God, that God was able, if necessary, to raise Isaac from the dead to fulfill the promise. He didn't understand what God was calling him to do, but he was convinced in the ability of God. God can raise this. God's got to raise him from the dead. That's why he said to the servants, I and the lad will go worship, and we will come again. I don't know what God's going to do, but God can raise him from the dead. God has to, in order to keep his promise, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. The ability of God. He was confident of the ability of God, being fully persuaded. What are some of the things that God is able to do for you? Well, in Jude it says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Sometimes we feel, oh, Lord, I'm slipping. Oh, Lord, I can't stand. Oh, Lord, he's able to keep you from falling. Paul said, who are you that should judge another man's servant? Before his own master, he either stands or falls. And yes, God is able to make him to stand. We may look and say, oh, he's weak. He'll never stand. He can't, you know. But God is able to make him to stand. God is able to make you to stand. In spite of what others might be saying about you or judging your weaknesses, God is able to make you to stand. He is able to keep you from falling. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may always have sufficiency in all things and abound in every good work. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. And to think that he is able to make that grace abound toward me and has made that grace abound toward me so that I stand before you in Christ Jesus, righteous, complete. Paul's words to Timothy, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I've committed my life to God. I know that God is able to keep that which I've committed. And as you commit your life to God, he is able to keep you. I am weak, but he keeps me. I may stumble, but he will keep me from falling. I may fail, but he will never fail. And I trust not in my ability, but I trust in God's ability to hold me, to keep me, to sustain me, and to cause his grace to abound to me. Thank God. I serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that I could ask or think. And he is able to save to the uttermost those who will come to God by him. Hebrews 7:25. Billy Sunday, who was a drunkard, many times slept in the gutters and the streets of Chicago in a drunken stupor, used to quote that verse, he is able to save to the guttermost all who will come to God by him. Yes, he's able. And that glorious ability of God shines brightest against the backdrop of our inability. Lord, I can't do it. I'm not able. And there is where I know his sufficiency, his all-sufficiency. And there is where he sustains me and he keeps me from falling. And he causes his grace to abound. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the testimony of the Scripture that you are able to deliver from the burning fiery furnaces. You're able to deliver from the lion's den. Lord, you're able to deliver your people from the darkest night, from the most difficult trials. And Lord, there are some today that are going through some very heavy trials, even this day. It seems like their souls are being overflowed. The rivers have risen, and they feel, Lord, like they're drowning in their circumstances. But we thank you that you are able to sustain them and to deliver them. Lord, there are those who have been overcome by sin. The snare of the enemy has taken them, and they find themselves in that grip and power of that sin, struggling to be free, not having the strength. Oh, Lord, we know that you are able to save to the uttermost. You are able, Lord, to deliver them from the power of darkness. You're able to give them the strength and the power to walk in holiness and in righteousness before you. You're able to make them to stand. Lord, may we commit our ways and ourselves to you, knowing that you're able to keep that which we commit. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? I think we probably should sing it again. He is able to deliver me, though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. And I was thinking of that chorus that we often sing around here. It's rather new. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, oh so able, and that we would just learn to trust, not in ourselves, for we are frail, but in him and his ability. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord strengthen you. And may you experience that enabling power of God in your life this week. If you're going through a heavy test or trial, encourage you to go back. The pastors are in the prayer room. They'll be glad to pray with you, that you might know that enabling power of God keep you, to sustain you, to deliver you in and through our Lord Jesus Christ.